This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, help us that the words that we sing in our hymns might be lived in our lives to give glory and praise to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing the sermon. Happy Sing Your Favorite Hymn Sunday. I ran across this story some time ago, and I've been saving it for this Sunday to share with you. There was a church where the pastor and the minister of music, certainly not St. Joseph's, were not getting along. As time went by, this began to spill over into the worship service. The first week, the pastor preached on commitment and how we should all dedicate ourselves to the service of God, to which the choir director then led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The next week, the pastor preached on tithing and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. The choir director then led the song, "Jesus Paid It All." The third week, the pastor preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues. The choir director then led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." With all this going on, the pastor became very disgusted over the situation and the following Sunday told the congregation that he was considering resigning. The choir director then led the song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" As it came to pass, the pastor did indeed resign. The next week, he informed the church that it was Jesus who led him there, and it was Jesus who was taking him away. So the choir director led the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Well, we've been talking these past weeks. If you go back a few Sundays with Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and then understanding that what that meant was a lot different than he had anticipated, and then understanding that this was not for us an easy task to be a Christian. And now in this chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we get into a practical understanding of how difficult that can be. None of us like conflict. None of us like confrontation in the midst of conflict with another member of the church. And this is specifically what Matthew is addressing today. To understand how we need to approach such situations, we need to understand the context in which Matthew brings this discussion to the table. He starts this chapter of his gospel with talking about Jesus welcoming children. To such as these belong the kingdom of God. He makes the point from the get-go in this chapter that the kingdom of God is for all people. The young, the old, the rich, the poor, the healthy, the sick. And he goes on from there, and then he says, and if there's anything that you are doing that is creating a stumbling block for someone else, stop it. Because the whole idea is, as many as we can, to welcome them into this wonderful kingdom of God. He goes on, and he says, if you're doing anything in your own life that's a stumbling block to you being who you should be in the kingdom, stop it. Because again, it is about welcoming all, including ourselves, into the kingdom. He doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, shepherd, you got 100 sheep, 99 of them are fine. One of them is lost. Guess what the duty of the shepherd is? Go after the lost sheep. Why? Because in the big picture, it is about welcoming all in the kingdom. we can go to the first reading that we heard, the story of what the first Passover, the Exodus, is going to be about, that the blood will be sprinkled and save them. But we know where that story leads. Jesus becoming the Passover lamb for us, reconciling us to God and to one another, but then inviting us, trusting us, and having confidence in us that we might be ministers of that same reconciliation. So it is with this background and this approach that then he comes into the practical situation. Okay, somebody does you wrong in the church. What are you going to do about it? Now, the steps that he gives us are very logical. The problem is we usually do them in reverse. As soon as somebody wrongs us, we go and we tell everybody what that dirty SOB did to me. And pay attention. What is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. The problem is we can't take things back. You know, in this age of Twitter and Facebook and email and all these distribution lists and every form of electronic media that we have, one click of the mouse and we have destroyed somebody's reputation, just like that. We need to be careful. Will conflict happen? You betcha. Jesus realized that. Matthew is realizing this in the early days of the church. We are frail, feeble, sinful people. We are not perfect. And once in a while, we are going to mess up. But the important thing is, what are we going to do when that happens? So, the first thing we need to do, acknowledge the hurt. There is nothing worse than hanging on to something inside because it eats us alive. But the thing is, we don't go to our 25 closest friends and unload on them what that person did to me. That doesn't help. That's creating stumbling blocks. We need to pour it out to God. And if you want some examples of that, there's 150 of them just about in the Bible. They're called the Psalms. And in those times when people are being mistreated, they've had people done them wrong, they cry out to God, God, don't you see what they're doing to me? And we get that off of our heart and our chest, but we do it to God. We don't do it such that it cannot be taken back. And when we get to a point when we are able to consider Matthew's context, that I want to go to this person because I want to get it right. I want to make it right. I'm not going to you because I want you to feel bad. I want to take revenge. It's because we are all in this together and I want to make this right. So I go to you alone and I explain what has happened. Now, I believe in the church setting, if that was our approach, I think 99.9% of the times, that's where everything would be reconciled. Because people in the church are there because they want to do the right thing. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to do that. But if we went to that person, it can be resolved in most cases. If not, there is a process he gives us to follow. But if we did that and go with the idea of reconciling, the idea that we are all in this together, and you blew it this time, but guess what? I'm going to blow it tomorrow, and you're going to be coming to me. This is what's important for us in the church. It becomes incumbent upon us to be careful about what we say. Have y'all seen these commercials? They're an infomercial that's on periodically, and it's this device. It's not a hearing aid, but it's supposed to enable you to hear everything that's being said 100 feet away. You seen it? Let's take a little look at this first clip if you haven't seen this.
...than a credit card, yet so powerful, you can hear a pin drop from across the room or listen in on a conversation from up to 100 feet away.
Have you met the new neighbors?
I haven't.
I'm met him. He seems nice.
Just insert the earphones and adjust the volume. It's that easy. Now you can enjoy TV programs even late at night or listen to your favorite music without disturbing anyone. Ever wonder what people are talking about across the room? Now with Listen Up, you can discreetly listen in.
He's in good shape, doesn't he? It's pretty cute.
Would it be nice if that's the types of things we would hear? Man, he's looking good. Hey, the neighbors, aren't they great folks? We know too well, unfortunately, it usually doesn't work that way. This clip is probably a little bit more realistic.
Look, it's more than a credit card, yet so powerful, you can hear a pin drop from across the room. Just insert the earphones and adjust the volume. It's that easy. Ever wonder what people are talking about across the room? Now with Listen Up, you can discreetly listen in.
Jeff, do you see that guy over there?
I do.
He's so fat.
Oh my God, look at the hot dog going down to his head.
How did he even get through the door?
If there are 10 things that we know, 9 of them being good and 1 of them being bad, for some reason, we have this tendency that we want to concentrate on the one bad thing. In light of this gospel, maybe we need to pretend that everybody else has one of those listening devices. And so they can hear everything we are saying about them. To put it in other words, whenever we are talking about someone, maybe we need to pretend that they are present. It might frame our words a little bit differently if that person was there. I always go back in relation to this theme with something that was told to me a long time ago that always rings true for me. When I'm tempted to say something about someone to someone else, I first have to ask, is it true? Do I know for a fact that this is true, or have I just heard it from somebody else, which makes it nothing but gossip? Secondly, if it is true, is it kind? There's a lot of things I know about people, but it's not kind. And it's just going to create a stumbling block for me to share that. And then thirdly, is it necessary? Now, I need to give you a little aside here that there are times when things are true and not kind, but they're very definitely necessary to be shared. When someone's safety is at risk, when something has happened within the community that even by law it needs to be reported, that is necessary. But that's only 0.001% of the time, I think. If we just did that little litmus test, pretending that that person is there in front of us, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? These conflicts can be resolved very, very easily. And remember, the whole context of this is that we have a God who is trust and confident enough that what Jesus did as the Passover lamb, he wants us to get in on that action too and be reconcilers. Wow, what a great gift. You might have heard the story that's told of two brothers who are farmers, and they have lands that adjoin one another. And for 40 years, they have the best of relationships. But something happens along the way, and words are exchanged, and one thing leads to another bad thing, and finally, they are just not speaking to each other anymore. And so, as a result of that, the one brother wakes up one morning and finds that his brother, where the property line was, has dug a huge ravine with a bulldozer and put water in it. So now there's a river that separates the two. The other brother is furious. And he decides, I'll show him. I'm going to build an 8-foot wood fence so that I don't even have to look at his property, let alone him. So a carpenter shows up. And he says to the carpenter, I want you to build this 8-foot fence around so I don't have to look at him anymore. He gives the carpenter the wood and the nails. He leaves. He comes back later to discover that the carpenter has not built that 8-foot fence, but has built a bridge across the river and ravine. His brother is coming towards him with his arms out. They embrace, and the brother says, "I can't believe you would do that after all the bad things I did to you." And they are reconciled. As they are embracing, the carpenter starts to leave, and the brother who hired him says, "Don't leave, I have some other projects for you." But the carpenter says, "I must be on my way. I have many other bridges that I must build." The allusion, of course, is to Jesus as the bridge builder, the Passover lamb. The even better news to all of a story like that is that he calls and enables us to be the same. In those difficult relationships and times in our lives, may we look to him so that we might truly be ministers of reconciliation. Amen.